to say that Andrew Benzie's on the line. G'day, Benz.
Yeah, g'day to you, Joel and Fletch and listeners. And yes, they'll be back. Only 5,500 on Derby Day, but they'll have 10,000 for the last 3 days. So at least we'll have some crowd atmosphere.
And Benz, that's fantastic too, by the way. Wasn't it a day for the big races and the backmarkers?
Oh, look, it was. And, you know, well done to Brad Widdup. He's always had great feelings about what Ice Bath could do. Missed out on winning a big race back when it was wet behind Collette earlier this year. But she just was brought into the race beautifully by Kieran McAvoy, and she let down so well. And you look at what happened at the Valley with the drama around the Cox Plate and the way those two place getters, or the winner and the second horse, got the gap and picked it up and went straight through it. It was just tremendous to watch.
What was your take, Benz? It appeared if you backed Anima, you thought it should have been upheld. If you backed State of Rest, dismissed. What was your view? I actually backed State of Rest, but in my humble opinion, I think it was worthy of being upheld. But what did you think?
Oh, now you can't be thinking like that if you backed the winner. I backed the winner too. So, always was going to be dismissed.
Right. Okay.
No, I'm only kidding. It was 50-50, guys. I don't think, and I think a lot of us that were watching it were, sometimes you can listen to what the commentators are saying and you start to get drawn the way that they're thinking. Mm. And the ones, you know, I was flicking between the two coverages and everyone had their own point of view. And I think that if it was upheld, you could have just walked away and said, righto, that's fair enough. And it was dismissed, you could have done the same thing. And the stewards have obviously jumped on the front foot, Robert Cram, the chief steward in Victoria, and explained why that they feel that the brushing of the two horses didn't impact Animo and had every chance. And it has been brought up since. I mean, there's so many things that come out of it, but Animo was carrying, what, 6.5 kilo less than the winner, that maybe Animo did indeed have his chance to get past State of Rest over the last 70 to 80 metres. But, yeah, it was one of those close protests that I think that everyone sort of thought it could have gone either way.
Benz, what is in the letter of the law, because it seems to be a lot of grey area.
Mm.
What? Because I was out at the races and I was talking to this old jockey. I didn't get his name, but he was telling me that he goes, this will be upheld. And he explained why, because he said the jockey couldn't use his whip. So yeah. Did they take all that into consideration?
I thought Darren Biedman would have known this a bit clearer. guys, sure, come on, Darren. There was a portion where Craig Williams wasn't able to do the normal style with the whip.
Yes.
Craig is one jockey that, and I think it's we've got used to it now, that jockeys don't use the whip as much as what they did even 5 to 10 years ago, that they wave it at them more than use it now. The stewards deemed that it didn't prevent. It probably did for a bound or two there, but in their belief, they feel that it didn't over-affect the result. And State of Rest still won by a half head. It would have been interesting if it was tighter, if it was a nose, you know, then it would have been even more intriguing. A lot of talk about, there were 5 stewards inside the room that had to make a decision. The belief is that it was pretty clear, although they're not saying that. So while it went on forever, and I think Joseph O'Brien, who was in Ireland, the trainer of State of Rest, he didn't have a feel. He had a brief conversation with his assistant trainer that's in Melbourne, Mark Power. But outside that, he was like us. He was waiting to see. And I think when protests go on and on, the general view is that it's going to be upheld. But that wasn't the case on Saturday.
A lot of people are saying Ben's the best horse of the race won. I'm not so certain on that. I think the run of Very Elegant was so impressive. And I was sort of panning Very Elegant going into that race. But if it takes the same run as what Johnny Allen had for State of Rest and ultimately Craig Williams, where they just were patient, they saw the gap, bang, they went, because Very Elegant had to go by the car park. What did you make of Very Elegant's run, and are we expecting it to line up in the Melbourne Cup in a week or so?
Well, in regard to the Melbourne Cup, the next group of acceptances came out today. and she still remains in that. I'm just getting it back up. There were 35 horses still in tomorrow week's Melbourne Cup, and Very Elegant is still there. So maybe they're just giving themselves the time to see how she's come through the Cox Plate. Obviously, Saturday, we're going to learn the final field and the barriers. So they'll give themselves every opportunity to think about whether the mare does deserve a crack at the Melbourne Cup. She was very good, and I think that, you know, the rain, the passing rain that went through the valley was a big plus for her chances. It was able to get a toe into the ground, and we know that she likes that sort of ground. Where it didn't suit Probabil, every time it rained, Probabil just eased in the market, because remarkably for the owners, Cambridge Studied New Zealand, they brought her over and run her in two Cox Plates and an all-star mile, and it's been soft to heavy ground on those three occasions now. So I felt for them, but certainly was a really encouraging run if Very Elegant is going to go to a Melbourne Cup.
So we wake up Saturday morning, Benz, with the news that Zaki had been scratched. Do you think it's a different result if Zaki runs?
Well, if Zaki's fitness was 100% like it was prior to getting a temperature overnight on Friday, you would think that Zaki would have been in the finish. State of Rest and Animo, they came with good finishes. Once that gap opened, John Allen took on the winner and Craig Williams followed through, on that ground, they let down pretty smartly. So if Zaki was leading them up, they would have been coming extremely hard. It could have been even a more thrilling finish than what we did see.
Benz, this kid, Joseph O'Brien, he's 28, and I say kid because he's so young. He's now got two Melbourne Cups and a Cox Plate. In a week or so, he might have three Melbourne Cups and a Cox Plate at the age of 28, plus all the other ones he's won overseas. It is just such a story for a youngster, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is, and I'm going to name drop, but I am going to name drop for a point. A good friend is Lloyd Williams, the owner of Twilight Payment, and he always, you know, aims horses towards the Melbourne Cup with Joseph. They've had good success already with those two that you've spoken about. Lloyd Williams, when Joseph stopped riding and became a trainer, Lloyd was very much on the front foot saying he will become one of the world's best trainers. And I said to him, he's got a father, you know, Aidan. He goes, all right. And he said, Aidan's a good trainer. Joseph's got the talent to be even better. And even at this age, as you say, of 28, he has. He could train for 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And I will say, guys, just on Twilight Payment, for those that might, you know, be thinking of backing the horse, we're 8 days from the Cup. He'll want to be better than last year because he's got to carry top weight of 58 kilos. But the reports from Werribee is that Twilight Payment has settled extremely well and is training up well for another Melbourne Cup tilt.
I actually thought, Benz, because that is my tip at this stage for the Melbourne Cup. I don't mind Grand Promenade either, but I actually thought after Joseph's achievement in the Cox Plate, maybe just on the back of him, we may have seen Twilight Payment shorten. So maybe it's time to back it, as you're sort of referring to there. Speaking about Lloyd Williams, I noticed Rachel King's got a ride for him. I just try to find the horse.
Pondus.
Pondus, that's right. That's right. So yeah. Well done to Rachel King.
Rachel, James McDonald, Kieran McAvoy, he has taken a suspension. He got time there at Randwick on Saturday, and he decided to take it straight away, boys, because then that will get him back for the Melbourne Cup. He sacrificed a lot of good rides on Derby Day, but he thought, can you imagine sitting at home when Grand Promenade steams to victory in the Melbourne Cup and you would have been riding the horse? So he's taken the option of missing Derby Day so he can ride that horse in the Melbourne Cup.
So, Benz, can you clarify? So he can choose to defer to the Melbourne Cup, but is the Melbourne Cup ride worth more points, I suppose? How do they work it out?
Well, it's the prestige on the Melbourne Cup front. I can't pick your voices, guys. I'm really...
That's okay.
I love saying Joel and Fletch. You both sound similar, don't you?
Oh, do we? Yeah.
Was that you, Fletch?
That was me, Ben.
Finchie's in the chair.
I look... the prestige of a Melbourne Cup sometimes just takes over from the prize money angle. And Kieran McAvoy loves winning a Melbourne Cup, as we know. He's already won a couple, and he'd love to add another one. And look, he's won the Everest, we know, on multiple occasions. And these, I think at times, they don't worry about it. They want to win prize money because Kathy at home probably wants another pool or something added to their home. But I will say that it's the Melbourne Cup, Fletch, and it really is the esteem of winning it is the driver for Kieran McAvoy to be on Grand Promenade rather than riding. And I will say he had five or six decent rides on Saturday, but he's given them all up.
Yeah, that's a fair call. But if it was me, the four pillars on Saturday, that's probably the most important thing going on this weekend.
Oh, you've got a runner, haven't
I've
you?
I've got two,
if you don't
I've
mind.
I've got two. So we've got to get different strokes and Conrad home.
Well, they're both trained by the same trainer there at Wong. Have you got?
Correct.
What are you doing there? I'm trying to remember who's riding who there.
So Huey's riding Strokes.
That's it.
And Alicia's riding Conrad. Yeah. Alicia Collett.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And he's calling himself Godolphin all week. He's been saying, "Oh, I'm Godolphin Fletch to you."
No.
Now, Ben's just, just to clarify, and the reason we're asking about the suspension, because I've sort of had an idea around the rugby league that if it's something trivial, you should be able to defer it to next year to play in a grand final or to play in a state of origin. So just to be clear, if he could opt to have his suspension on Cup Day and he would be able to ride Derby Day, is that right?
He could have ridden, it's normally 7 days from when you've incurred the suspension. So, for example, Kieran McAvoy cop time at Randwick. So normally the stewards would say your penalty is starting the following Saturday, for example, or he could ride the Saturday. He could ride the following Saturday and then his penalty would kick in. So he decided that it was better for him to start the suspension yesterday and come back for the Melbourne Cup, where Linda Meach, who's riding really well in Melbourne at the moment, she's decided to ride on Saturday at Flemington and miss the Melbourne Cup with a ride on Per San, which was probably going to be her ride in the Cup. So she's gone another way. So the ruling is, I've made it a bit more long-winded, but The ruling is normally the jockeys can ride for another 7 days from the day that they got suspended, and then the penalty would normally start. But Kieran has done it differently this time around.
I do notice, too, with Kieran McAvoy, so Peter Volandis has basically said, here you go, Kieran, here's $1 million. And that's because of the three Everests and now the Invitational. He has earned his connections $19 million in prize money, $19 million in prize money. So that's about $950,000 if it goes on 5% still. There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And these days I often get asked whether jockeys get a sling. I think that, and that's from the owners that, you know, feel that, you know, let's just say Bensley rode a winner and they were happy. And normally the sling would have been there in years gone by. I'm not saying that it's, doesn't happen, but it certainly happens less, I think, now, given the amount of my prize money that's being won in all of these feature races. As I say, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I think it happens less now.
Well, if Huey and Alicia are listening, there's definitely a sling on Saturday.
Oh, I thought you were dead set going to say no, Fletch. I thought there'd be no
sling. There is a sling coming.
You might have to get him on the weekend for that one, Benz. Tomorrow morning on SEN Track, you're back, 6 a.m. Spring Racing Breakfast, 8 p.m. Bensley. It's all happening, mate, and we appreciate your time on this Monday afternoon.
Good to talk to you guys. And, well, if we do it again next Monday, hopefully we can find a Melbourne Cup winner for you.
Oh, give us strength. Good on you, Benz. Great to chat.
See you, boys.
There he is, Andrew Bensley.